Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS, DJ Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are on to week six. A little late, a little later than usual. Had something to do, like a Chiefs game or something, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. But we are here, we are live, and we are going to talk through this slate. Last week, the lineup we built, if you played it, did well. Scored 197 points. So really worked out. We had Jamar Chase in there who went absolutely nuclear last week. So it worked out. So we're on to a new week. We are a forward-thinking show, so it does not matter what happened last week. So let's go ahead and just peel back the curtains a little bit. Let's start with the quarterback position. Per usual, position by position here, and Jalen Hurts kicks it off at $8,200 against the Jets. Then we have Tua at $7,600, Fields at $7,300, Kirk without Justin Jefferson at $7,100, and then Trevor Lawrence at $6,500. Jared Goff at 64 on the road, Joe Burrow at 63, Stafford at 61, and then Stroud at 6K kind of wraps up this 6K and above. We do have some injuries this week. Anthony Richardson was placed on IR. Deshaun Watson is ruled out again for another week, so he will not be playing. So other than that, Maddie, who you want at quarterback, and tell me why it isn't Trevor Lawrence, or if it is, because that's who I'm playing.
Yeah, so this slate's pretty interesting, and I'll preface this slate by saying I think the teams to find players from this week are relatively obvious and straightforward, but the players that we need to select from these specific teams is not as obvious, as weird as that sounds, because it's, you said pre-show, there's not a single total on the board that's over 48 points, so we're looking for good matchups. And there's definitely a couple of them on the board, and there's a couple games that could, you know, lend towards going over their Vegas totals this week. So, yeah, I mean, a good example of what I mean by saying the teams are obvious, but the players aren't necessarily obvious is you can't just play all the guys from one specific team. So like the Dolphins are the perfect place to start this conversation. Because any of Mostert, Waddle, Tyreek, I mean, heck, without you know, a second running back this week, it's going to be Ahmed, but because Jeff Wilson's trending towards doubtful. But like, even without a second running back, I expect Tua to throw a little bit more. And, you know, maybe even the tight end, Durham Smythe, slides into the end zone once or twice. So, you know, a team with a total of 31 like the Dolphins have, it's not straightforward where you need to go because salaries are so expensive. And guys are going to be really popular. Like Mostert's going to be the most popular running back on the slate. But I mean, it's such a good matchup for him. Carolina is the worst run defense in the NFL. And the Dolphins are just running all over everybody right now, passing all over everybody right now. So it's, like I said, it's obvious you want Dolphins. And I would not make a single team without at least one Dolphin, maybe even without two. But you can definitely double stack Tua. Jalen Waddle's going to be 2% again this week. We know he's got 100 yards and two touchdown upside. He had 10 targets last week. And Tua is going to be, you know, one of the lower owned quarterbacks as well because of how high priced he is up there at 7,600, the second highest price behind Jalen Hurts. So he should get single digit ownership. So it's a really interesting leverage spot if you have a team that's not playing Mostert. I like the idea of Tua, Waddle, and Tyreek together. So, and you can maybe even slide in some Durham Smythe in there too if you need a value tight end. So, I really like the Dolphins double stacks, especially considering Carolina is missing pretty much their entire defense due to injuries, especially in the secondary. So, you never want to play the Dolphins, even with your starters out there, and you never want to, definitely never want to play him with all your backups out there. So this is an AFC to NFC matchup, which we've seen Miami just absolutely destroy, you know, the defenses that are outside of their division. And this is no different. So I'm expecting the Dolphins to hang. I'll even project them for 40 points this week. I just don't see a way that they don't score a ton of points against Carolina. Carolina just gave up 42 to Detroit without Amon-Ra. And Detroit's offense is fine, but they are not what the Dolphins are. So, yeah, I would not make a team this week without at least one Dolphin. And you can maybe even bump that up to two. So I really like Tua up at the top. I think Fields is interesting as well, considering the Bears have mainly one active running back. Deontay Foreman's pretty much the only running back on their roster. I know they have Darrington Evans too, but they pretty much just signed him off of the Dolphins practice squad. So I wouldn't expect him to get a ton of run. So it's pretty much Justin Fields' show again this week, because Minnesota's actually been pretty good against the run. So I would expect Fields to throw a lot, and maybe they design him some more runs because of the lack of extra running backs that they have available this week. And he's actually projecting pretty low owned as well. So that's very interesting there. So yeah, I like Fields and Tua paying up. I'm not paying up for Jalen Hurts all the way at the top. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence, 6,500 against Indy. Indy is one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. You absolutely can play him. The pass catchers are also very cheap for Jacksonville, so it makes for a very easy stack. Ingram's 4,500. Christian Kirk, I think that's the biggest misprice of the week, is why is Christian Kirk 5,400 against the Colts when he's been absolutely shredding over the last 3 weeks? And I know he put up a dud in week one, but Zay Jones is also going to miss this game, so I'd expect Kirk to not really come off the field much. He's going to play pretty much all the snaps with Ridley, as opposed to in week one, it was a lot of Zay Jones and Ridley, and they didn't run a ton of 11 personnel. So I like Kirk a lot this week, and you compare him with Trevor Lawrence for cheap. I even like Calvin Ridley, 6,700 Calvin Ridley. So yeah, the Jags are just a cheap stack overall. So I do like that call there of Trevor Lawrence. Burrow, we said last week that, you know, well, you had more interest in Burrow than I did, but I said last week that I wasn't going to play him until I got visual evidence that he looks a little more healthy. And he was actually starting to move around the pocket and, you know, avoiding sacks, and was able to be a little bit more mobile. And so I think it was a good encouragement that his calf actually might be feeling a little bit better. So I know those were the reports heading into the last week's game. And then it actually came to fruition when you watched the game as well. So 6,300 for Burrow against Seattle that's another misprice, I think. Seattle's given up 300 yards passing to Matt Stafford. Who else did they play? It's every quarterback except Daniel Jones. So Andy Dalton, Matt Stafford, I don't remember who they played week two. And then they did not give up 300 yards passing to Daniel Jones because he is bad. Week two was pulling up Geno Smith here. Oh, they played Detroit. So that was Jared Goff. Yeah. So they've given up 30 points to the Rams, 31 points to Detroit, 27 to Carolina, and a start by Andy Dalton. And they give up 3 to the Giants in a game. The Giants looked absolutely abysmal and gave up the world record for sacks allowed. So, this has all the makings for a Joe Burrow smash. They're in Cincinnati. Seattle defense doesn't get the home boost there. It's another Burrow to Chase game. So I'm not overthinking that one. I think Burrow's the best point per dollar quarterback on the slate this week. And then two other guys that I like, Matt Stafford just below him at 6,100. You have to have interest in him with Cooper Kupp back, which, man, Kupp was, I think, the shock of the week for me, playing almost every single snap that he played. So I like Stafford there. And then also on the other side of that Trevor Lawrence game, I don't even hate Gardner Minshew at 5K. We've seen Minshew, you know, in his time as a starting quarterback, he's had multiple 20 to 25 point games on DraftKings. And, you know, this is a good matchup where he absolutely could do it here too. It's a little bit of revenge narrative for Gardner as well, former Jacksonville Jaguar. So Ryan Williams would love that little nugget there, but shout out Ryan.
Yeah, so I think for me, I think it's going to be kind of fairly obvious. Like I said, Trevor Lawrence, I'm all in. The Colts have been atrocious against the pass this year. They've allowed the fifth highest passing yards per game rate on the season. Almost 300 yards allowed per game, 282 passing yards allowed per game to quarterbacks. So then wide receiver ones absolutely torch the Colts. So I think the him and Ridley stack is going to be the way to go. And Ridley's still, I mean, he's too cheap. I know he kind of was bumped up early in the season, then he's kind of dropped down because he fell off just a tad. But this is an elite game. Last week, you're seeing Trevor Lawrence come off, you know, his best game of the season, scoring 20.7. It probably could have been better, but, you know, Travis Etienne robbed some of those with the goal line stuff. But and we're seeing him run a little bit. Like, it's not anything elite, but, you know, he's getting, you know, generally speaking, he's had at least five rush attempts in every game but one. And, you know, the last couple of games, 31 and 42 rushing yards. So that helps out a little bit in terms of his floor. But I just think this game is absolutely could absolutely go off. And I know the last time they played, it was a 31-21. They lost that game. I think they won that game. Yeah, they won that game. I'm sorry. But anyways, regardless of that, it's still even in that game, he went out and threw 241, two touchdowns in that game as well. So I just think Trevor Lawrence is somebody that I'm going to have a lot of, $6,500. Matt Stafford, this is such a dream matchup against this Cardinals because they have the type of wide receivers that you want. We could probably get into a little more when we get to wide receivers, but I will just mention this now that the Cardinals run zone at an extremely high rate. They are top 10 in the league. And our boy Puka Nacua absolutely crushes zone coverage this year. He's actually, if you look at him this year, he has 490 yards against zone coverage this year, 38 catches, 490 yards against zone. And then if you look at it only against man, he only has five catches for 61 yards against man. So this is an absolute dream matchup for him. And so they are terrible against zone. They're terrible in zone coverage as well. So I think him and Cooper Kupp, I think you could look at as well. Both really viable options here. Same kind of Tutu Atwell also does pretty well against zone, 18 for 186 as well. So I think you could really go with any of those three that you really want to. But I'm really going to be targeting Puka Nacua over Cooper Kupp, get that little salary discount that's pretty significant. It's almost $1,500 less to get down to Puka. So I think him and Matt Stafford are great plays this week. Really like this matchup against Arizona, and he's still too cheap at $6,100. And then I like that other side. I think Geno Smith, I think, is also a really good play as well, $5,700. If you want to get a little bit of salary savings, I think you could go with him and like a Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf and then run it back with Jamar Chase because we'll see if T. Higgins is going to play. It sounds like there's a possibility he could play this week. If he's able to play, he kind of comes in as well. I'm surprised they're going to run T. Higgins out considering they're on bye next week. But, you know, it doesn't really make sense. But if that's what they're going to do. But so I do think that Geno Smith is another way I want to go. Like there is some weather situation this week that we should mention. I don't think they're going to be anything significant. There's none of them, I think, have sustained a plus 20-plus mile-an-hour win. We're getting there in some of them. The 49ers and Browns game is supposed to be rain, and I think 15 to 20 with 30-mile-an-hour gusts. The Bears game is going to be – sounds like it's supposed to rain in the beginning and then stop by the end of the game, but it's supposed to have around 15 to 20-mile-an-hour winds. And then the same for the Cincinnati game. But that one, I think, is a green, at least on if you go look at NFL Roto-Grinders weather report. That one doesn't sound like there's going to be any wet or rain either. So that shouldn't be that big of a deal. But there is a couple of games we should monitor. But overall, I don't think there's going to be anything that really stands out as really bad. And then I do agree. I actually don't mind getting to Gardner Minshew. You know, we know he has the capability of putting up, you know, 300-plus passing yards. He could do that. We saw it last year when he was with the Eagles. And this is a matchup against the Jags. I think that, you know, he could exploit with Michael Pittman. Josh Downs are both you could run him back with a really cheap stack to get in some other things too. So I'm big on you know, or I have no problem. I mean, playing with Gardner Minshew, I think 5K is certainly something we should be looking at. And then, you know, I think that's kind of where I'm going to go, right? Like if you want to play Tua at $7,600, I'm not talking you out of it. I mean, the Dolphins offense has been so elite this year that it's hard to really get away with. I mean, really, you can maybe make an argument that maybe Tua should be a little bit more expensive because of just the upside. But, I mean, he's hit 300-plus yards in three of the five games so far this year. Touchdowns, he's thrown at least two or more touchdowns in three of the five games. So, I mean, he's somebody that could definitely break this slate. this week against the Panthers. Now, the Panthers have been better against the pass than they have against the run. Obviously, they've been just dreadful against the run. But I still think, obviously, with Tua, you could get there. I'm not excited to play Jalen Hurts against the Jets. I think that game's going to be really slow. The Jets defense has done a really good job of shutting down some, you know, really good offense. They shut down Patrick Mahomes. They didn't do a whole lot. Josh Allen did absolutely nothing against them either. And so I'm not overly excited to play Jalen Hurts, especially at the price tag. I'll probably be off that game completely. I have some interest in Justin Fields just because of how well he's looked. And really, you beat the Vikings through the air. And really, I mean, the last 2 weeks, Justin Fields has been electric through the air, right? I mean, just absolutely crushed 30-plus DK points in each of those last two games. Now, obviously, that was also against the Commanders and then against the Broncos. But still, I do think if you want to play, you know, Justin Fields at $7,300, I'm not going to talk you out of that either. I think, though, that is also a really good play. But past that, like, would you have any interest? Never mind, I'm not going to ask. I was going to ask about, would you have any interest on the other side with like Josh Dobbs at 5,200? No. I mean, he's had some good games, or even like a Desmond Ridder at 5K. Like, no. I don't think I would, but I know the Commanders have been terrible against the pass and they've really struggled. And we did see, I mean, to be fair, I mean, we saw Desmond Ridder put up, you know, 329 passing yards last week and a score for 29 DK points last week with also a rushing touchdown. So, I mean, he has a little bit of a ceiling. And they have thrown the ball at a much higher rate this year, I think, than people thought, right? Like 37 attempts last week. He had 38 against Detroit, 32 against Green Bay. Like, I mean, they've been throwing the ball a little bit more than I think people expected him to.
Yeah, no, I can't get to either Dobbs or Ridder. I just think there's too many other options with an actual ceiling. You know, we mentioned like 7 or 8 guys that have legitimate ceilings this week, so I think if you like those offenses, it's fine to play, you know, one pass catcher from them, but I wouldn't load up.
All right. Yeah.
I wouldn't load up on the QB.
There is a wide receiver from that game I definitely am going to play. So, is there anybody else that you really want to talk about, or you want to jump over?
No, Cody asked in chat, how popular Stafford's going to be. And Stafford is going to be the most popular quarterback, but he's only projecting what I'm seeing is 12%. I think quarterback ownership for the most part is going to be pretty spread out. And it's because, you know, all those guys that we just talked about, right? Like there, you can make a good case for, you know, probably 6, 7, 8 guys, that should be, you know, that are in consideration for having ceiling games. So, yeah, Stafford and Burrow definitely are at the top of the percentages this week, but, there's nobody high enough at QB that I'd be, you know, trying to come off of them to just jam in somebody else because of that.
Yeah. So I guess to kind of clarify, to wrap up a little bit, because I know I mentioned a few names there. For me, it's got my most exposed to, you know, top three quarterbacks are going to be Trevor Lawrence, are going to be Stafford. And then probably, Geno Smith. And I'll have some sprinkles of like, you know, of Burrow and maybe a Gardner Minshew or something like that. But those are going to be the games that I really want to attack for sure. So let's go ahead and jump over to running back. So McCaffrey is far and away the most expensive running back, and he's $9,500. Next up, past that, it's David Montgomery at $7,300. Bijan is $7,200. Etn is $7,100. Josh Jacobs is $7,000. Kamara is $6,800. Kenneth Walker is 67. Then you have Jonathan Taylor and Kyron Williams and Raheem Mostert, who is grossly mispriced at $6,400. And then Joe Mixon, Zach Moss, DeAndre Swift, and Breece Hall wrap up the 6K and above range. I know last week was a week that we really loved running back. We were, you know, talking about possibly paying up kind of for the first time. Are you feeling the same way about the running back position this week? Or are you going to go in a different direction?
I love the 6K range running backs this week. And then also there's, you know, a couple guys that are now value running backs because of injuries down in the 4Ks. So there's not a single 5 to 6, like between 5 and 6K running back that I like. So if you were like multi entering, I would just cross all those guys off. You can definitely make a case for some of the guys up top. Like ETN is fine. He's on the field literally every snap. Tank Bigsby is not a thing. So ETN is definitely, you know, in consideration, especially if you're playing Minshew. You know, I think ETN makes for a solid run back on the other side, because you're rooting for Lawrence to not do as much, or otherwise you would have just played Lawrence. Bijan's in a decent spot against Washington, but I'm not sure I get there. He burned me a little bit last week, and I mean, he still does have a ceiling, and he is priced down $500 from what he was last week, so I'm sure he'll go off when I don't play him. But I just think there's better running backs in better spots from these top guys. Like, I'm not paying 9.5 for McCaffrey. I'm not paying 7.3 for Montgomery on the road against Tampa. Josh Jacobs is okay. I think he leads the league in targets to running backs. So, and New England gives up a ton of those, and New England's defense has just been a disaster as it is. So, Jacobs is definitely in play at 7K. He's going to be popular, but, running back is just a position where you just kind of, you just eat some of the ownership, the chalk, and you just play the guys that are projected to get the most volume and are in good matchups, and, don't necessarily worry about playing as lower owned running backs as you would at wide receiver and tight end, just because the nature of variance at the position is lower outside of injuries. Cause it's easier to project running backs than it is any other position. So, Jacobs is good play. Kamara against Houston absolutely is in play there. Kyren Williams and Raheem Mostert are probably my two favorites of the whole slate. Kyren at 6,500 against Arizona and Mostert at 6,400 against Carolina. Two really, really, really good matchups and two guys that are probably not going to come off the field much. Mostert will definitely share some work with Ahmed, but it won't be a ton. And then Kyren just doesn't really have anybody behind him. If the game is even close at all, he shouldn't come off the field much. So, last week was just a bad matchup for him against Philly. And we talked about that last week was not a Kyren week, but this week absolutely can be. Mixon's going to be popular, but Mixon has not scored yet. He has scored one touchdown in week 3 against the Rams. And he's still putting up double digit points, pretty much every single week. He's only 6,300 and he gets a matchup with Seattle, though. Seattle has not allowed a ton of production on the ground. They haven't given up a 100-yard rusher yet. And then they've given up 3 out of 4 300-yard passers. So while Mixon can be involved in the pass game, you really need him to score probably twice to pay off that salary, since he's definitely not going to hit the 100-yard bonus. So I'm okay with Mixon, but I'm not as high on him this week as other people are. And then scrolling down, that's pretty much it from the 6Ks for me. So there's a handful of guys there that we just mentioned. And then you get to the 4-3, 4-4 range. Deontay Foreman's at 4,400 and Chuba Hubbard's at 4,300. Both guys should be thrust into mega roles with Miles Sanders and Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson all being ruled out. So those guys are not necessarily locks at those prices, though. I almost Deontay Foreman's definitely in play. Minnesota has been good against the run. But I mean, he's going to be involved in the pass game too, because there's nobody else. And then, Chuba against Miami. I mean, Chuba has a 20, I think Bryce Young's been targeting running backs at like 21% of his passes. So, Chuba definitely has a solid pass catching floor there, assuming they're going to be trailing the whole game. So, I really don't like Chuba, and I almost side with Chuba over Deontay. You may disagree with that take. I know you like Deontay, but I think Chuba has a better floor and ceiling because Chuba can also score. But I don't think – all that to say, I don't think either of these 4K running backs are just plug-and-plays. I don't think they're locks by any means.
Yeah, I think when you look at this slate a little bit, like one, I mean, obviously Kyren Williams stands out easily, right? Like his usage is absolutely elite. And I mean, if you look at him, I mean, just he's basically handling 80% of the snaps, 90%+ of the RB rush attempts, and almost 80% of the routes on the season. Now, I was concerned with him last week because he only saw a 6% target share last week, which is kind of a big drop off from where he was at. And so that is a little concerning, but that was just 1 week. I don't know if I would typically, I don't want to just put all that eggs in that basket, but if that's going to be a trend, then I think Kyren Williams becomes less and less intriguing. So if you do want to get over into this spot, or, you know, if you don't want to play Puka or something like that, I think Kyren Williams could be a little bit of leverage off those guys. But you know, the Cardinals still really struggle. They allow the fourth most DK points to the running back position. They've allowed the ninth most touchdowns and the 10th most rushing yards on the season. So it is still a really good matchup for Kyren Williams here. You already talked about, you know, Raheem Mostert, but it this is going to be kind of one of those spots you probably should just eat the chalk. It's like David Montgomery last week, right? Like, like this is an elite spot and an elite matchup against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers have been so bad against the run this year. And so at only $6,400, like I think it'd be different if he was priced up and he was $7,500, then we could have a different discussion about it, right? Because then you're paying that top premium price. But considering you don't have to do that at $6,400, it's really hard to get away from him. It's going to be hard for him to fail. Now, is it possible, you know, that something happens, it goes awry? Sure. You know, maybe the usage goes to the air. They hit Tyreek on, you know, two or three long, you know, touchdown runs and kind of limits his upside. That's possible. They get up early and they kind of, you know, pull the plug on some of these guys. You know, I think a lot of like Salvin Ahmed available. I don't know if Jeff Wilson's going to play or not. I'm kind of leaning towards no, but, you know, we'll see. But I do think that it's going to be really hard to get away from him, though, because of his price. And I think this is one of those times you probably should just eat the chalk and keep it moving. I think past that, like that does, that's kind of the top, the really top guys. I think Alvin Kamara, excuse me, I forgot about him. Alvin Kamara is also in a really good spot. He's $6,800 this week against Houston. Houston has not been very good against running backs, which is no surprise because they weren't good against it last year either. But in the two games since returning from his suspension, he's handling almost 70% of the snaps. He's running 53% of the routes. He has a 24% target share and 58% of the RB rush attempts so far. And Houston Texans allow the 10th most PPR points to running backs. They've also allowed the 6th most touchdowns. So Alvin Kamara, who's still probably a little bit too cheap at $6,800 in a matchup against Houston, who I like this spot as well for Alvin Kamara. So if you're paying up, those are kind of the guys that I'm going to be looking at. I tend to agree that I think the 5K range isn't really where I want to live this week in this matchup, because like maybe like Alexander Madison's kind of the one guy that I'm like, ah, maybe. But Chicago hasn't really been a pushover against the run. They've actually been better than I think people will probably give them credit for against the running back position. They've allowed the 12th fewest rushing yards, but where they've really been beaten has been through the air. They've allowed the most receiving yards and the most receiving touchdowns to running back so far this season. So that's really where you've been able to get them. So if you think Alexander Madison can get there through the air, then yeah, I think that he could actually be in play in this spot at $5,600. And then like Ramondre Stevenson feels like he's just sitting there staring at me because it's a matchup against the Raiders, and the Raiders defense is not very good. You can run the ball against the Raiders, but fuck, Ramondre Stevenson has been so bad and the Patriots have been so bad, but he's $5,400. Like, would it surprise you if Ramondre Stevenson goes out and scores 20 fantasy points? It wouldn't surprise me.
No, it also wouldn't surprise me if Zeke took two of his touchdowns either.
Yeah, it's just been a super frustrating situation with him because last year he was heavily involved as a pass catcher, and this year it's just not really coming to fruition. But it is a really good spot, and he's super cheap. I think if you're playing in like, you know, if you're playing high, you know, high or large field tournaments or something like that, sprinkling in some Ramondre Stevenson at $5,400, I don't mind it. It's not like a flag plant play or anything like that for me, but it's just the matchup sitting there and it's like I don't know. And maybe I'm a fish for even thinking about doing it, or I'm chasing something here with him, but he's only $5,400. And so it's not that hard to get to. So if you did want to pay down, I think that would be the guy that I would definitely look at. And then when it comes to the super cheap guys, maybe that's why you don't play him, because you have these really cheap value here this week with the Deonta Foreman, with the Chuba Hubbard. I actually agree with you. I think Chuba Hubbard of the cheap guys is probably the play you want to go with. Now, what worries the shit out of me is they just get the doors beat off of them by the Dolphins, and then they don't really have to run the ball, and then all of a sudden he disappears because they don't really have to, you know, because they can't run the ball because they're so far behind. But Chuba Hubbard has quietly been pretty solid this year. Now, he is a pass-catching running back, too, so that is something that could come into his favor. But Chuba Hubbard on the year is 14th in yards created per touch. Like, he's done a pretty good job against the run this year, and he's shown some explosion and stuff like that this year. So I don't mind him. He's obviously, we're not going to see Miles Sanders. And Miles Sanders this year has, like, been a guy who's seen like a 15% target share in this offense. So it really wouldn't surprise me one bit to see a Bryce Young check down to Chuba Hubbard multiple times, you know, in a game like this. But so I do think that Chuba Hubbard would be the preferred way to go, because the Vikings have been better against the run than they have against the pass. Like they've done a pretty good job of containing running backs. Now some running backs are getting there, like on scoring a couple touchdowns, but you know, no Roschon. Sad. I was really hoping to play Roschon Johnson this week, but that's not going to happen. Foreman is fine. Like, I don't think he's going to be involved in the passing game at all. And so I think for me, it would be Chuba, just because I think he has a better shot of being involved in the passing game. And then there's the other guy that I wanted to talk about, and that's Emery DeMicardo, who has been all of the conversation on Twitter all week. It has been Keontae Ingram versus Emery DeMicardo. I personally think that Keontae Ingram is absolutely dreadful, and he's been dreadful for the most part in his two years of being in the league. Last year, whenever they had the opportunity, I know Adam Schefter tweeted that Keontae Ingram is atop of the depth chart this week, and everybody pays so much attention to that and really cares about it. I don't know why or how many times we have to get burnt by that to figure out that stuff doesn't matter. But DeMicardo last week, in limited usage and limited opportunities, because the injury didn't happen until later in the game, saw four targets in that game, scored a touchdown. And so at $4,900, maybe you don't have to get there because we have this other value, so maybe we just don't have to get to it because there's other guys that are cheaper than he is. But I do think at $4,900, like, sprinkling some in, I actually played him. I have the proof. I sent it over to Maddie last week. His sub, I think it was like 0.5% owned. Yeah. I actually played him because I've kind of been on him the last couple of weeks. And
you did.
It was actually only in the afternoon only is when I played him. But I needed a cheap play, and he was like 4K or something like that, and I plugged him in. And he ended up scoring like 11 DK points. So it worked out. He was fine. And the afternoon only slate. So, but yeah, I think that's kind of where I sit with running backs this week. Like, I think there's a select few that I really want to play, and I'm just going to jam those guys in, and I'm just going to not worry about the rest.
I'm right there with you. I think we're pretty lockstep on running back. I'm glad you like Chuba over Deontay. The more and more I think about it, like, Chuba's just a really, really good value. I don't think he's a lock, but I think he's a really good value.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and jump over to wide receivers and have this conversation. So we have Tyreek at 93. Obviously, Justin Jefferson now has been placed on IR. Sad to see, but Kupp is 9K. Chase is $8,300. Devontae Adams, 81. Puka is 8K. AJ Brown is 7,800. And then for the rest of 7K, you have Amon-Ra, who is back this week. Jalen Waddle, Mike Evans. And then in the 6K range, you have Godwin, Metcalf, Ridley, Olave, DJ Moore, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, and Garrett Wilson. So, same situation, different position. Who do you want to play here at the top? Like, I've already highlighted.
Everybody?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's why you're just going to plug in Chuba Hubbard and call it a day.
Probably.
So access to these guys. But like I've said, Puka Nacua is such an elite play this week.
Yeah, no, I like Puka. I like Kupp. I like Stafford. So I really like the Rams call there, especially if you're not playing Kyren or if you have concerns about Kyren's pass game usage with Kupp being back. You know, I think double stacking Puka and Kupp with Stafford makes a ton of sense, or even just playing one of them, you know, solo as well is fine. But I mean, yeah, any of these guys, Jalen Waddle and above, I have interest in. We already mentioned Waddle's going to be 2% against Carolina, with Carolina missing all of their secondary. We know Waddle has a 30-plus point ceiling. 7,600 is definitely priced for his ceiling, but if he hits that, he definitely pays it off. Puka, you mentioned Chase. I still want interest in Chase against Seattle. I already mentioned they've allowed 300-yard passers in three of the four, including to Andy Dalton, and they have just been absolutely shredded by number one wide receivers as well. So I really like Chase again, even after his blow-up last week. Kupp, with his role, we already mentioned it was the most shocking piece of last week was Kupp's role coming back, because, you know, there was all the rumblings that Kupp was going to be limited. His Vegas prop was set at 58 yards, and then he comes out and clears that 58 yards on the first drive pretty much. So that was pretty crazy to see that usage right away. So that 9K price tag is definitely worth it. And then Tyreek 9.93 for Tyreek. Whenever a team is missing, you know, one of their main attack points that they've had over the last week, and it being a running back like Achan being out for the Dolphins, they're not just going to turn around and hand Mostert the ball 25 times. And I don't think they want to rely on Ahmed enough to really eat into the pass game. So I think we could see a little spike in two of pass attempts here. And even in that game where they beat the Broncos 70-20, Tua is still through for 300 yards and four scores. So you absolutely can play Tyreek. He scored 30 plus points in that game. They won by 50 points as well. So it's kind of irrelevant what Carolina is going to do. But if you're playing Chuba on the other side, you know, there's a run back there, or even Thielen as well. So I like all those guys up top. Then the mid 6K range is interesting as well. Ridley at 6,700 and DJ Moore at 6,500. I like those guys, especially if playing their quarterbacks. Pittman is definitely in play at 63, but I actually prefer Josh Downs. I think Josh Downs is the best wide receiver play on the slate this week from a point per dollar perspective. He has been absolutely Minshew absolutely loves to target him. And he had 12 targets with Minshew a couple weeks ago. He had 97 yards receiving last week with Minshew after Richardson left that game early. So I think Downs in this matchup with Jacksonville is a phenomenal play at his really cheap price tag of 4,100, I believe it is. So he's a phenomenal value. And then outside of that, the mid fives are interesting as well. Jacoby Myers in his revenge game against New England. If Devontae Adams is any sort of banged up, Jacoby Myers has seen 32 targets in three games that Jimmy G has started. So he's actually kind of been Jimmy's favorite target there, outside of that one game where Adams had 20 targets himself. But the other two games, you know, Myers has kind of been Jimmy's favorite target. So that's kind of interesting there, and he's affordable. Thielen, you absolutely can play him if you want to go all in on Carolina, Miami. Addison is interesting. I'm not sure I'm going to get there this week just because I don't know what his role actually is going to be. I don't know that offense is going to be very good without Justin Jefferson, honestly. And I think we could just see a lot of TJ Hockenson, and you already mentioned, you know, Madison is in a good spot for receptions to dump off to him. So I don't think Addison is just this plug and play taking over the X receiver role. And I actually think it could quietly be KJ Osborne personally. So Osborne's much cheaper. He's 4,400. And Osborne had it over 100-yard game last year as well. So I wouldn't be shocked if Osborne led the Minnesota receivers in production. So I'm going to take a wait and see on Addison, because a lot of times we see these wide receiver twos that, you know, all of a sudden they're missing the best receiver in the league across from them, and they don't produce as much because that receiver was taking up so much of the attention of the defense. And now these guys, you know, are having to operate as a number one, and they can't necessarily do it yet. And that's not to say Addison can't do it. It's just, I think he's probably going to be a little more popular than what I want to play for him, hoping that he can do it. So I'm probably out on Addison, but definitely thought it was worth mentioning there. And then Christian Kirk is another one. That's a great play at 5,400. I think that's just too cheap for what his role has been and what it can be this week with Zay Jones being ruled out. So that's pretty much where I'm going to live. I'm not going to go lower than Downs or Osborne this week. And then I'm going to live, you know, there's a couple guys in the mid fives, but mainly the key for me is trying to get as many of those high price guys, Jalen Waddle and above, that I can get.
We just brought up Christian Kirk, and while I'm thinking about it. So I think Christian Kirk is actually a really sneaky play this week, because when you look at just the coverage that the Colts run, so no team has played more zone coverage at a higher rate this year than the Colts. And Christian Kirk has been the zone beater for them this year. Kirk leads all Jags wide receivers and points per route run against it. And he has the highest receiving grade against zone coverage as well. Christian Kirk does. So I think that he is a very, sneaky option this week that I think everybody's going to want to go to Calvin Ridley. And Calvin Ridley's been great, so I'm not going to take anything away against Calvin Ridley. But against zone, Christian Kirk has actually been targeted at a higher rate, has a higher target share than does Calvin Ridley. And so that should be something that we should take into consideration as well. And so I do think Christian Kirk is in a pretty good spot this week. Somebody that's probably not going to get as much ownership as he probably should. So I did want to mention that. And then now, not that, you know, I'm really telling anybody new, but Ja'Marr Chase is fantastic as well. So another situation kind of similar to that would be Ja'Marr Chase with the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks have played zone coverage at the second highest rate in the league this year. The Seattle's also allowed 7.7 yards per coverage target in zone, and that's the 12th highest mark in the league. And then if you look at Ja'Marr Chase, he's averaged 0.46 fantasy points per route run against zone coverage this year, which is the 10th highest mark among all receivers. And it's interesting because if you look at the other receivers in the Bengals offense, they all rank outside the top 75 wide receivers in fantasy points per route run against zone. So I think Ja'Marr Chase obviously is just an elite play, and I wouldn't really want to play anybody else from this offense. I think it's Ja'Marr Chase and then everybody else right now with the way that Seattle does things. And then the other one is Nico Collins. I think he really stands out to me as well when I was kind of looking some of this up. The Saints are playing man coverage at the second highest rate in the NFL. And then the Saints have allowed just 4.05 yards per coverage snap and 4.7 yards, which is both the second highest rate in the league. That's against man. But Nico Collins has been fantastic against zone. And this year, he is actually averaging 0.89 fantasy points per route run and earning the third highest receiving grade against zone coverage this year. So I do think Nico is in a really good spot this week. I know people are going to see the matchup here with kind of the Saints and think that they're going to be kind of worried about this, but they play zone at a really high rate, and Nico Collins has crushed zone coverage this year. So I think he is also in a really good spot this week. And then obviously I already talked about Puka, who has absolutely annihilated zone coverage this year with 490 of his receiving yards coming in zone coverage. So I think those are kind of the guys that really stand out to me up top that I really want to get access to. I do think if the weather was a little bit better, I think Brandon Ayuk would also be in play at $6,200. I do like that, but the weather just scares me away from. I don't think you need to go there in this game. But Drake London is another guy that I really want to hit on, $4,800. I know a lot of people aren't going to want to play Drake London because it's the Falcons and everything else, but the Commanders have been so incredibly bad against number one wide receivers this year. They have just been absolutely annihilated by them. We just saw DJ Moore just go the fuck off against them. They have just really, really struggled against those guys. I mean, Stephon Diggs did the same thing. And obviously those guys are a little bit higher of a regard than Drake London is. But Drake London is in a fantastic spot. And he's only $4,800. And like I've said, this Falcons team is actually throwing the ball at a much higher rate than I think some people are going to give them credit for. So $4,800 Drake London, I think, is going to be in play for me as well at that price. So I think he does make a lot of sense here in that matchup. And then Curtis Samuel. If you want to run it back with somebody, Curtis Samuel is going to be the guy at $3,700. The Falcons are terrible against slot wide receivers. Basically, you want to funnel everybody funnels everything into that's what they're trying to do is funnel everything into the middle of the field. Their outside corners have been elite this year. AJ Terrell has been fantastic. So I don't want to play anybody on the outside from the Commanders, but I think on the inside, I think looking at Curtis Samuel at $3,700 is just too fucking cheap. And he scored 18 DK points each of the last two games. He's been involved a little bit as a runner too. So I think Curtis Samuel, I think is in play as well at $3,700. If you really want to get cheap at wide receiver, I think you could look at him. And I don't know, maybe I'm crazy here for even mentioning this, but Rondale Moore, I'm kind of intrigued, right? They're without James Conner. They've been utilizing him a little bit as a runner this year, out of the running back position. He did so at college. It's kind of something he did quite a bit. He's seen, three attempts in a couple of different games. Last week he had three carries for 50 yards. And he also, against Dallas, he also had three carries for 54 yards. So, like, at $3,500, if you're wanting to get a stack here and a cheap run back, like Rondale Moore, like, it wouldn't surprise me if they bump that up a little bit more without James Conner now that he's out of the lineup and you're going to be leaning on Keyonte Ingram and Amari DiMeccardo, that maybe you give Rondale Moore. Maybe it's Galaxy branding a little bit, and I'm just kind of overthinking it, but $3,500 Rondale Moore could be kind of an interesting spot to maybe possibly get there. Because he's had some useful weeks this year. I mean, week three against Dallas, he had 16.2. He had that, 3 for 54. He ripped off a 45-yard touchdown on that. And then he also, last week against Cincinnati, he had 10.6. So there's something there. He's seeing a little bit of targets as well. So I don't know. Maybe $3,500 Rondale Moore, I think, is kind of interesting too.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't hate it. You've definitely suggested worse plays before, so.
And they always hit though. So just know that they always hit. Never better. We haven't brought it up all year.
But Tyler Croft
will always go down in infamy for me of the best quality.
Double cutty.
Yeah, when like, and I remember there was a couple other shows that were like shitting on it because I know that on that take and
oh, yeah,
and then I got to say what? Yeah, it's fantastic. Anyways.
So I'll always remember when we recommended playing Josh Allen in cash in his starting debut when he was 4,600 because he had rushing upside in college, and we said was, what if Josh Allen isn't that as bad as everybody thinks he is and he can run a little bit, so, and
it worked out.
It worked out.
We'll always have Dan Arnold week too.
We will always have Dan Arnold week.
Was fantastic. Sorry, Ryan. You were on the wrong side of history on that one with Josh Hill. Yeah.
Josh Hill. Unbelievable. Yeah. Imagine playing Josh Hill over Dan Arnold.
And it happened so organically, too.
Couldn't be me.
It was just we were kind of looking into stuff, talking about it. I think I brought his name up. And then you started looking into it.
Yep.
Oh, look at all these
Gary Arnold
he's been getting. And then, yeah, it just kind of happened from there. And then he scored a touchdown or something in that game. And it was fantastic.
Yeah,
and he was like
– that was Thanksgiving slate.
Wasn't he like 1% owned?
1%. Like everybody had Josh Hill.
Yeah. But you're on it.
But yeah.
So, anyways, other than that, like, I mean, you touched on a lot of wide receivers. I kind of hit on some of the things that I really want to hit on. But is there anybody else that you really wanted to get to?
Nah.
All right. Let's jump over to tight ends. Everybody's favorite position. TJ Hockenson is $6,600. And then you have Sam Laporta, who popped up on the injury report this week with a calf injury, but it sounds like he's probably going to play, but that is scary because calf injuries, man, could pop up at any time. And, I don't know, do you just stay away from him? Because that worries me if, something he could tweak in that game. Mm-hmm. But and they also have Amon-Ra coming back this week. So, do they really need him? I don't know. He's $5,600. Kittle, who is so hit or miss at 5K. Dallas Goedert finally broke it, bounced back. He was somebody we were on big time last week, and he bounced back in a really big way, $4,800. Cole Kmet, Evan Engram, Hunter Henry, Tyler Higbee. And then you have your Taysom Hills and David Njoku's and Dalton Schultz and Zach Ertz. Kyle Pitts, who I might add, I brought up Kyle Pitts' name last week, and you shit all over it, and he dropped 7 catches for 87 yards on 11 targets, 15.7. Say my name again. Anyways, who you had at tight end?
I'm definitely out on these top guys, I think. Hockenson is fine. I just don't know that I'm going to have the salary to get to him. And again, I just don't know that that offense is going to be very good without Jefferson. And they could score points this week, right? Because they're playing Chicago. But, I mean, it's in Chicago. It's not in the dome. There's a little bit of weather issues, like with wind. So, I don't know. That game just feels really gross to me, Minnesota-Chicago. So, I'm probably not going to play Hockenson, but I totally get it if somebody wants to make that a priority. I think where like the highest price guy that I like is Evan Engram at 4,500. And we've, you know, talked about that, these Jags being cheap, outside of Ridley, who's really not even that expensive at 6,700, but, you know, Kirk 5,400, Evan Engram's 4,500, like the Jags are cheap. They're in a great spot against Indy. So I like Evan Engram a ton. Logan Thomas at 3,500 against Atlanta is in a really good spot. You already mentioned the receivers are not the best matchup at all when playing Atlanta, and you attack
it. Chalk.
You attack Atlanta in the middle of the field. Let me pull up tight end ownership real quick. So it's actually Engram and Ertz and Pitts at the top, and then Logan Thomas is number 4. He's around 10%, so really not
that bad.
That's
not bad at all. That's ridiculous, because the Falcons have been dreadful against the running back. Against the tight end. Only the Jets have allowed more to tight ends this year than the Falcons have.
Yeah,
the Falcons have been really bad.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the Falcons want to funnel everything to the middle of the field. And Howell has shown that he will pepper Logan Thomas with targets. So. I really don't hate that at all. I mean, he's got targets of 11, 3, 3, and 8. And I think the Denver game was when he got the concussion. So, I mean, if you just throw out the other game against Philly where he only had 3, I mean, he's got two full-played games of targets of 8 and 11, and he's 3,500 in a really good matchup against Atlanta. So, yeah, I think it's – Engram and Logan Thomas, I think, are the clear best point per dollar tight end plays on the slate. But there's obviously tight end is weird and you know, touchdowns matter. So if you're playing Minshew, I think Kyle Granson is in play. 2,900 there against Jacksonville. Outside of that, I think tight end is pretty gross this week. And I mentioned Smythe too. So if you play Tua, I don't hate Smythe as well. Against Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, Goddard's also an elite spot. The Jets have been the worst team against tight ends this year. They are allowing a touchdown per game to the tight end position. 5.4 catches, 57.8 yards, and 1 touchdown per game to the tight end position, 17.2 points. But I do think that, you know, Goddard, again, I think is in a good spot. And then, you know, you're going to have to play Logan Thomas. It's just a really good spot for him. And then I agree with Evan Engram. So I think those are kind of the obvious names. Like if you want to get a little bit different, like especially a part of a stack, like Noah Fant, I think you could get to him. He has a little bit of upside here. He hasn't been great. He hasn't really put together like a solid game. He hasn't scored a touchdown, but he's been involved and he's only 3K. So like, again, like, I, you know, we're kind of big proponents of when you're stacking, a part of your stack, include the tight end for them to get there. So I do think that somebody like Noah Fant could be in play. I agree with Kyle Granson as well, is also probably one of those dudes that you could look to play. But I think past that, like there's no like real like bottom of the barrel tight end that really stands out to me. I think that's as low as I would go. And then Zach Ertz is also, because the Rams have also been, they are allowing the 5th most DK points to the tight end position as well. So Zach Ertz, who's seeing a lot of targets from Joshua Dobbs, is also somewhere you should be looking to go. So I think that's kind of where I stand with the tight end position. So let's go ahead and jump over to defense and scroll all the way down to the bottom, because that is what we do. I mean, how could you not love the Lions? How in the fuck are the Lions only $2,700 against the Bucks.
I don't even hate the other side of that game too. The Bucks 2,300 against the Lions.
Yeah, because you got the narrative of Goff, who's really struggled on the road.
Yep.
And he really has. I mean, even this year, it's carried over. It's been the same thing. On the road, he has been substantially worse on the road than he has been on at home. So,
you know, the Bucks D, you look at their game logs, they've been positive in every game, and they even had 5 against Philly. So, I mean.
Yeah, the Bucks are only $2,300. Yeah. And I even, like, this is going to sound crazy, but I don't even mind the Browns. I mean, the Browns defense has been awesome this year. Like, they can get to the quarterback. They can produce a ton of sacks this year. And I mean, we've seen it, you know, obviously they haven't played a ton of like elite defenses, but I just think that they could do enough. This game's going to be kind of gross. You know, all it really takes is a fumble or something like that. But $2,200 Browns, you know, if you want to kind of go off the board a little bit, I think you could look for them. But Lions, Bucks, both, either one of those teams are certainly in play at their price tag. The Texans, if you want to get there at $2,900, you could look to do that. But it's kind of it. Like, I'm not paying up for any of the tight ends. Like, I think for me, it's pretty straightforward. I'm going to take a shot on one of these teams that I know that gets the quarterback, like the Lions, at $2,700. And then, like I said, I think I totally agree with the Bucks.
Sweet. Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, just some lockstep. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. We're going to find out. All right. Let's go ahead and jump over and build a lineup here, right? Like I said, last week's lineup absolutely crushed. So if you put it in anything, did well, almost 200 DK points on that one. So really, I think if we just would have jumped off of B.J. Robinson and playing, if we would have played like David Montgomery or some, you know, one of the other, you know, chalk running backs, I think that lineup really would have done a lot more damage. But still, let's get to it. So start us off there, Maddie. What are we starting with?
Mostert.
All right, I'm just going to go ahead then and lock in, let's see, Mostert 64, wide receiver, I'm going to lock in Puka.
All right, let's play Stafford then.
Love that, $6,100. Just go ahead and get it. All right, let's see. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but let's see if we can. I'm going to play Cooper Kupp at 9K.
All right, Chuba.
Maybe this won't be so bad. So tight end, I'm going to run it back with Ertz.
Bucks D.
Bucks D, $2,300, leaves 51-50 each position at wide receiver and the flex. I think we could do this. Yeah, I'm going to go Christian Kirk at $5,400. You know what? Didn't you say you love Josh Downs?
I do love Josh Downs, yep.
So that leaves 800 on the table. If we wanted to, we could upgrade Bucks D if we wanted. I mean, that, or we could just leave the 800 and leave that. That is going to leave an interesting or a unique lineup build with leaving, you know, $800 on the table. Most people aren't leaving that kind of money on the table. We could do that if you wanted.
Let's do. I'm good with. I like the Lions. If you want to play the Lions D, I agree. The Lions D is kind of mispriced too, instead of Bucks.
All right. We're gonna lock this one in. So Stafford, Mostert, Chuba, Puka, Cooper Kupp, Christian Kirk, Zach Ertz, Josh Downs, Lions D. I think if you wanted to make any changes, maybe you could maybe mess around a little bit with like not playing Kupp and playing like a Jamar Chase or somebody like that who's higher priced, and then, you know, maybe pay up from there to get, you know, a different wide receiver, whether it's Downs or Kirk or something like that. But you know, I just want to see. I just want to see one thing. You know, I always got to mess with something.
What is Kupp's 9K, right? Chase is 8.3, so it's 700. We had 400, so that's 1,100 to play with.
Yeah, so if you wanted to do that, you could do something like that. And if you really wanted to, you know, instead, you could always, I guess, at wide receiver, because you basically have $5,100. So if you did that and you played Chase instead of Kupp, and then you could still play Kirk at $5,400 if you wanted. And really, if you wanted to, you could go with like a Tutu Atwell as the other option if you want to double stack. He's only $5,100. He fits into that build. And then, you know, there's other guys that we talked about, like Drake London, or even still just Josh Downs. I mean, you could just keep.
I love Downs. I think Downs gets his first 100-yard game.
So we could do that. And really, like I said, if you want to leave money on the table, I think that's smart. So I just think with this build, there's a lot of different things you could do. That's all I was saying.
That's what I said. It's an easy week from a matter of which teams you want players from, but it's actually a hard week from figuring out, you know, which teams fit the build right. Because there's a lot of good plays. which is weird because it's the highest total is 48, but there's a lot of good plays.
No, I agree. Cause like, even like I was saying, like if you wanted to, like if it honestly, cause that left $1,100 on the table. Like if you wanted to go pay up for a defense at that point, because you didn't really don't want to mess with
like the 49ers court. Against PJ Walker in 30 mile an hour winds.
We can't get to that. You wouldn't be able to get up to that. That's you're a couple hundred short, but you could play the Eagles against Zach Wilson. And the Eagles, you know, they've been getting at the quarterback at a very high rate. You could play them. At their price at $3,800. So that's probably what, if I was going to do anything, that's probably what I would do just because of their price. But anyway, that's really all I was saying. Like, I feel like there's a lot of different ways you can go and still feel really good about your team.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll make this change back, lock it in. Because the only thing that would worry me is with Puka and Cooper is like, can they both get there? But then I guess last week they both scored 20 plus DK points. So,
and Cup, they only scored one touchdown between the two of them. Like Cup scored 22 without any touchdowns. So you give him two touchdowns, which pushes Stafford up to what, 3 or 4. You know, that's what you're looking for, right? Out of Stafford. When you play him is you want a 300 yards, 3 touchdown game, which is absolutely possible. And if that happens, Cup's probably catching 2, he's probably going for 100 yards. And Puka can definitely go for 100 yards and he can get the other touchdown because the offense is so consolidated. So, and especially when you're not playing Kyren Williams, who is going to be popular, you know, it's great leverage because the Rams are in the highest total game of the week, but they're also one of the biggest favorites of the week. So they have the second or third highest team total on the slate. So I really don't hate going, you know, full blown Ram stack.
Yeah. They have the second highest on the slate because it's the Dolphins at 30.75, which actually has dropped. Full point, but and then you have the Rams who've actually been bet up over a point and a half. It's one of the biggest movers on the week, so they're at 27.75 in terms of their implied team total, and that game has risen. I mean, it started opened at a 45.5 and went up so far to 48.5. It wouldn't even surprise me if by Sunday it gets up higher than that. So I think this game really kind of looks like one of the best games to target on the slate. And you don't have to worry about weather or anything like that because obviously it's inside the dome. So,
yeah, the only bad thing when you go all in on a freaking 4:30 game and you got to wait for your dudes to play.
Yeah, yeah. And then you sit there and watch all these other dudes go off. And right. You're like, yeah.
That's the only thing I hate about loading up 4:30. But,
yeah, there's definitely been some weeks where I've had teams that's literally almost all 3:30, and then.
But if you played all the Jamar Chase last week at 4:30, you printed all the money and Goddard too. So it's definitely it doesn't matter what time your guys play. It does suck when the early guys like Tyreek Hill last week explode and you don't have him because you played Jamar Chase and then Jamar Chase scores twice as much as Tyreek did. So
yeah, that was convenient. So anyways, all right, let's go ahead and get out of here. Week 6. In the books. Hope everybody has a good week set. So let's print some money. If you haven't already, you can jump into our Discord. You can go over to our YouTube channel, find it. It's absolutely free there. But, next week we'll be back. We should be back at our normal time on Thursday nights. So for week 7. So, and next week is a big bye week. I think there's 6 teams on bye next week. So it's going to be a little bit more of a shorter slate, I'm guessing. So anyways, till then, be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Leave a rating and review if you're listening to this on podcast, and we will see you again very soon. Have a good week. Let's win some money. Let's try to go for 2 in a row for big weeks. Try to break 200 this week. We were almost there last week. So anyways, have a good rest of the weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye. Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way to walk back. I see what you got. Inventions and ounces, but that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. DJ Russian! DJ Russian! Think you're a big man? I'll treat you like you're a little man.